Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There is a game Sunday. And there's a whole slate of games coming up tomorrow. It's a couple Saturday games and Sunday and Monday. So we bring on our guy, CBSSports.com, RJ White. He's from the Pick 6 podcast. He's going to run through some of the NFL games with us this week, including the lines and the spreads. RJ, how you doing tonight?
No, good. How are you?
Good, RJ. Let's start with tomorrow. I love when the NFL does this. I forget it happens every year. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's football on tomorrow. December brings about some Saturday games. Tomorrow, there's a pair of them. Let's start with the early one. The Houston Texans, who lost for the first time last week since September, now go on the road to the Jets. The Jets won last week. They're at home. It's a shorter week. Do you give the Jets any chance, or do you think this is a Houston route?
Yeah, when I do my power ratings and I see what the line should be, I would only make it like 3.5. So if you're just going by that, you know, the Jets, there's some value with the Jets. I don't know that I'm ready to go against Houston, though, coming off a loss. You get those teams with long winning streaks. Once they finally get that broken and they have a loss, they like to come out strong in the next game. So the Jets were out game 368 yards to 248 yards against the Bills, but they won on turnovers and special teams. I don't know that they're going to get that this game because Houston hasn't turned the ball over in 5 of their last 6 games. You get the Jets are just 28th in adjusted sack rate on defense, so they're not going to take advantage of a Houston offensive line that can be a little shaky if they're playing a good pass rush. So even though the power ratings say the Jets, I would lean toward Houston because the spot seems to be better for them, and everything else is saying that they should cover pretty easily because I don't know why the Jets show up for this game.
Cleveland at Denver, RJ, the night game tomorrow night, the Saturday night game. Both these teams, I guess, technically still in it. Denver closer at 6-7. But it's amazing. The Browns have played better. Mayfield has played much better since they fired Hugh Jackson. And they have a chance to end this year on a pretty good note. They're 5-7-1. They've looked better lately. So Denver at home, -2.5. What do you think here?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people love the Browns. It was 3, and it's come down to 2.5. I believe the look-ahead was 4. I think the line actually should be 4. Denver's 5th in weighted DVOA, so they're actually one of the top 5 teams as far as how they're playing as the season has progressed. I give them 4 points anyway for home field advantage. They have one of the better home field advantages in the league. They're 3-3 at home this year, so you would think maybe they're not that good of a home team, but all their losses were by 4 or less to the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Texans, 3 teams that are going to be competing for the Super Bowl title, it looks like. So Cleveland's only strength is their pass defense, but since Denver doesn't pass very well anyway, they're not going to be able to lean on that strength because Denver doesn't get much out of their pass game anyway. I think they're going to run all over Cleveland, who's 26th in run defense per DVOA. Denver had just 1 turnover in their last 4 combined, despite 3 of those games being on the road. So even when they go on the road, they're practicing good ball security at home. I really like them to do it. This is going to be Baker Mayfield's first primetime game as starter. He's had his ups and downs. He's looked pretty solid at times, but all of those have been in 1 p.m. games, a few 4 p.m. games. We'll see how he looks under the bright lights and in a tough stadium in front of a tough home crowd. I would go with Denver here.
RJ, Tampa Bay at Baltimore on Sunday. I think you and I, when you first started coming on the show earlier this season, both liked the Ravens and just the kind of the profile of that team and their defense. And at that time, it was still Joe Flacco. And obviously, that has changed with the injury to Flacco and Lamar Jackson taking over. They played really well for a lot of that game last week and could have won that game in Kansas City. But just crazily, because of the Pittsburgh struggles, they're still alive to win the AFC North. A wild card certainly in their grasp. This looks like a game they should blow out the Tampa Bay Bucs. They're 7.5-point favorites at home. Do you see it that way, or do you see a closer game?
Yeah, and if you look at what the market is expecting with New England favored and Baltimore favored certainly by a lot, they're expecting Baltimore to be in first place by the time we get to Monday. So Tampa's looked good lately, but the last 3 games they've played have been at home. On the road, they've been a disaster. They've given up point totals of 40, 48, 34, 37, 42-38, and only two of those games have come against teams with winning records. So when they go on the road, they give up a ton of points, really, no matter who they're playing. Baltimore's allowed 17 points per game at home. Their worst showing was giving up 24 to the Saints and 23 to the Steelers. So we can forgive them a little bit for giving up mid-20s to those pretty good offenses. I think Baltimore's going to run all over Tampa. They rank 30th in rush DVOA on defense. They're a team that people have had success running on. So this really does look like a Baltimore gets ahead by 10-14 at halftime, and the defense is so good that Tampa just can't get anything going in the second half, and Baltimore pulls away with it.
RJ White, CBSSports.com, joining us here from the Pick 6 podcast as we look ahead to Week 15 and the games. RJ, I think this one's really interesting. Tennessee, who has had really big moments this year and nice wins like over New England and the blowout last week they had to stay afloat in the race, they're at the Giants, who have played much better in the second half. Saquon Barkley has been unstoppable for portions of the season. They've turned it on. They're trying to win and finish Pat Shermer's first year strong. It's basically a toss-up game. The Titans, as I look at it here, one-point favorites on the road, but we know Noel Dell Beckham. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, well, it was 2.5 earlier in the week. It came down to 2 as a few people started betting the Titans, and then once we got the news that Beckham was out, it switched all the way to 1 today, Tennessee -1 today. But I don't know that Beckham makes too much of a difference. I mean, they scored 34 in the first half last week without him against a pretty solid Redskins defense that had been playing pretty well. So Tennessee's rush defense has been bad in games lately. They gave up a ton of rush yards to Houston. They gave up a ton of rush yards to the Jets. Giants have been running well, like you said, with Barkley. They're 4th in yards per carry on the year. And their defense has been generating turnovers. And since the bye, they've had multiple turnovers in 4 or 5 games, 4 of their last 5 games. And Tennessee, you know, they have their flashes, and they look good, and then we kind of decide maybe we want to play them. But that offense has been pretty awful on the road. They're scoring less than 17 points a game on the road. 12 of the 15 turnovers they've had on the year have been on the road. They're coming off 2 straight wins. Both were at home against awful quarterbacks. So I think they're kind of lulling us into this false sense of security, laying the points with them. I think the Giants should be laying at least 3 here, even with Beckham out. I don't think that he makes that much of a difference to the line. If you can get it at +1, and at that point, since it's at 1, it might go up to 1.5. You're really starting to think about teasing the Giants up at that point because you can get them above 7, the +7.5. I think that's great considering Tennessee's road woes this season.
Yeah, well, I would be shocked if it's not that close of a game, so I'm with you on that. How about Miami at Minnesota? And RJ, I'm not sure if you have it or if you looked at it, but I'd be interested here at the look-ahead line because I feel like last week for both of these teams changed perception and certainly changed their records. Like Minnesota went into Seattle and they looked really bad. Their offense looked really bad. And Miami won a game that really they shouldn't have won, and they were done, and it was over until a miracle play. So the line is 7.5 in this game. I'm not sure how much last week impacted it one way or the other. I think Minnesota's better, but it could be close to this. What do you think? Minnesota home, 7.5-point favorites over Miami.
Yeah, the look-ahead was also 7.5, and I think when it opened up, it was at 7, and people kind of understand that the Vikings have trouble in primetime spots, and the Dolphins' win was a little fluky, you know, obviously with that last play. So I don't think that the market was really too keen to bet on the Dolphins in that spot, and that's why you saw it go back up to 7.5. Miami, in 5 of their 7 wins this year, they've been outgained in yardage, so they're really getting it done, you know, with just smoke and mirrors. They're 24th in points per drive on offense and 25th in points per drive on defense. That's not a formula that's usually going to lead to a lot of wins. And if you just look at weighted DVOA, which looks at how teams are playing, you know, at this point of the season, it weights more toward the most recent games instead of the earlier in the season. They're 23rd in that. So even though they have 7 wins, they're not really playing that well. I think you get Minnesota back at 1 p.m. where they're 4-1-1 this season, get them off of prime time. I think Cousins is going to be more comfortable in that game. The defense shines at home. You know, you're giving up 19.3 points per game at home, and that includes that loss in New Orleans, which is one of the best teams in the league, and that fluky Buffalo loss where they couldn't get out of their way, and they gave Buffalo, you know, 4 or 5 short fields because they kept on fumbling on their side of the midfield. So I think Minnesota -7 is the bottom end of what projection should have. I wouldn't be surprised if this line was 10. I would maybe start to shy away from it, but at 7, I think Minnesota provides pretty good value.
What looks like one of the best games of the week, RJ, Dallas coming off, we know, of course, the win over the Eagles last week, and they've won 5 in a row. At Indianapolis, the Colts have been one of the best stories of the season and had a really impressive win last week in Houston. It's a 3-point line. Really, Indianapolis at home favored by 3. Everyone's saying this is a really, really even matchup here. Dallas at Indianapolis. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been pretty heavy on the Colts this year, and I didn't like the Cowboys early in the year, so it really seems to me like the Colts would be a play that I should be taking, and I'm kind of shocked that I'm leaning the other way. I think Dallas absolutely torched Philly despite the scoreboard. You know, they outgained them 576 yards to 256 yards, and if you take out the 70 yards in overtime, however long that last drive was, that's still doubling them up in yardage, so I don't think that game was as close as the scoreboard indicated. I know Dallas EVOA isn't great, but because they have a lot of close wins, but Amari Cooper's really made a difference and brought something new to that offense. And the Colts have had some success on defense. I don't know if they've played as complete of an offense as what the Cowboys seem to be at this point. So they faced a lot of bad offenses over their run over the last 2 months. Oakland's offense is actually the best they face, and Oakland, as we know, isn't that good of a team. They do rank 17th in weighted DVOA. So basically every offense that Indy has faced in the last 2 months has been below average. Now they're going to get to face an offense that's peaking at the right time. I wouldn't be surprised, even though the Dallas has the disadvantage at coach and quarterback in this game, if they go in and get a win just because of the superior talent everywhere else.
All right, let's hit on the last two for this week. RJ White, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 Podcast. New England at Pittsburgh. We'll save the Eagles for last. New England at Pittsburgh. New England -2.5, road favorites. They're coming off of really the most crazy loss, I think, the end of a game ever for a Bill Belichick team that I can remember. The way that Miami won that game, New England on the road, Pittsburgh has been free-falling. How do you see this?
Yeah, everybody's going to love New England here, and that's because New England owns Pittsburgh. As we all know, they go in every, no matter where it is, no matter what the situation is, how bad or good each team is, New England has Pittsburgh's number. New England coming off a loss, especially a fluky loss like that, where you know they're going to be focused and they need to get back on track. You got to love laying the points here. Just when you look at the stat profiles, though, if you take away the team names here and you just make them Team X and Team Y, the numbers really favor Pittsburgh, and they should be the ones favored probably by 2.5 or 3. So you really have to put together, do you give New England the edge because of the mental aspects of the game, because they've owned Pittsburgh? Or do you give Pittsburgh the edge because they look like a superior team? And to me, I'm leaning toward Pittsburgh because New England's D on the road has been pretty bad. You know, they gave up 31 early in the season to Jacksonville, and it turns out Jacksonville's not that good of a team, as we found out. Gave up 26 to Detroit in a loss. They gave up 31 in Chicago, 34 in Tennessee, 34 in that Miami game. The other two games they played on the road were against Josh McCown and Derek Anderson. So that's not, you know, what we're going to get without a Ben Roethlisberger and Pittsburgh offense. So I would give the edge to the Steelers here just because the stats kind of tell me to. And I'm not going to just throw them away just because New England's had success in this series. But I'm probably best staying away. Maybe the smarter play is to tease the Steelers up. Like if you tease them with the Giants and get both of those over 7, both of these should be pretty close games.
RJ, last one for you. I think the line is up to 13 now. The Eagles, 13-point underdogs. Last week was a heartbreaker, and obviously this week we find out Carson Wentz is out. They haven't ruled him out. He's doubtful, but he's not playing on Sunday. This is going to be Nick Foles in Los Angeles against the Rams. RJ, the Eagles have a lot of issues. The one thing I will say, and I don't know if it's going to be close, but the Rams have leaked oil lately. Goff has not looked as good, and the Bears really took advantage of them last week. How do you see this one considering the gigantic line here?
The Rams have been favored by a lot this year, and they've had trouble covering. I believe they have a losing record against the spread this year. I think it's 5-7-1. They had been scoring about 35 points per game before Chicago shut them down, and Philly's D, as we know, isn't the Chicago D. You know, Dak just threw a ton of yards over them, so you expect the Rams go in and score 40, and it'll be on Nick Foles to keep up with them. But I don't know. It's just when you make it 13 at this point, I don't think there's any value in laying the points with the Rams here. I think you either got to play the Eagles or stay away. Can the Eagles keep up in a shootout? I mean, Alshon Jeffrey kind of looked like he's coming back around. The run game, you can lean on it a little bit. I don't know why they got away from it a little bit in that Cowboys game. So that's where the Rams' biggest weakness is. You know, you keep them on the offense on the sidelines and you run the ball on them. You can keep the game a little bit close, so Nick Foles isn't some green amateur that's coming in off the bench, and, you know, he's not like a Taylor Haneke or a Cody Kessler that you don't know what you're getting from him. You know, he has playoff experience. You know the team believes in him and trusts him to go out there and keep them in this game. So if I'm playing this game, I'm playing Philly plus the points. It's just so many points. I'm not confident that they go into L.A. and win, but I'm certainly not laying 13 with the Rams at this point.
RJ White, we always appreciate a few minutes here. Good luck this week, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you.
There he goes. RJ White, CBSSports.com. The guy's got info on every game. I don't think he takes a breath for 12 minutes on Friday nights. He just talks and tells us everything we need to know with all the trends.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.